The priesthood. In Israel, the priesthood was vested in one single family, Aaron, who was of the tribe of Levi. Aaron means light bringer. Levi means joined. Natural birth into the family was the only way of sharing its privileges. They were made priests at birth. The title was hereditary. It was passed on to descendants of Aaron's lineage. It is exactly the opposite today. The priesthood is a high calling. Hebrews 3:1, 1 Peter 2:9, Philippians 3:14, 2 Timothy 1:9, and 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Joined unto the Lord is only that service which is rendered unto God as a true Levite. If ye abide in me, John 15:7, we are made priests by a supernatural birth. Holy garments. The high priest wore clothing to distinguish him, Exodus 28 verses 1 through 43, Leviticus 8 verses 7 through 13. This clothing was made of six different pieces. First, the broidered coat. The broidered coat was a long, single garment of white linen and typifies the personal purity of our high priest, Hebrews 4:14 through 15. Hebrews 5:5 through 6 and verse 10, Hebrews 8 verse 1, also that of the perfection of righteousness, Romans 3:22 and Revelation 19 verse 8. The righteousness and purity of Christ were his vindication while here on earth. Judas, Matthew 27:4, Pilate three times, John 18 verse 38, 19 verses 4 through 6, and Matthew 27 verse 24. Pilate's wife, Matthew 27 verse 19. Herod, Luke 23:15. Thief on the cross, Luke 23:40 through 41. Gentile centurion, Luke 23:47. Stephen, Acts 7:55 through 56. And Jesus, John 14:30. Second, the girdle. The girdle is always a type of service and ministry. Revelation 1:13, Isaiah 11:5, John 13:4, Isaiah 42:1 through 4, Philippians 2 verses 5 through 8. It sustains and holds. We are girt about with the truth. Ephesians 6:14. In John 13 verses 1 through 10, the sevenfold service of Jesus was a perfect picture of humility. He riseth from supper, John 13:1 through 10. He laid aside his garments, everything which would hinder service. He took the towel, probably a well-worn linen one, and stood as a servant, Luke 12:37. He girds himself, the necessity of being strengthened by truth in order to render service, lovers of the truth. He poured water into a basin, the word with its action. It is the cleansing process. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 15, verse 3. He began to wash their feet, service to the household of faith. He wipes their feet, use of the towel again. The towel is a portion of the word that has blessed you. Third, the robe of the ephod. The robe of the ephod was blue and sleeveless and was worn over the linen garment. Blue speaks of the heavenly character of Jesus. There was always enough of the heavenly character of Christ's earthly ministry to show that he was divine. As a motif, a design or decoration at the bottom of this garment, was a row of golden bells and pomegranates, Exodus 28 verses 33 through 34. Golden bells suggest joy, holy divine, joy unspeakable, 1 Peter 1:8, and tidings of great joy, Luke 2:10. Pomegranates bespeak fruitfulness. They were full of seeds, many prayers, effectual fervent prayer, James 5:16. Fourth, the ephod. The material of the ephod was like that of the curtains. It was fine twined linen, Exodus 28:6 through 14. Blue, purple, and scarlet colors were interwoven. Also, golden threads were woven into it, Exodus 39 verses 2 and 3. The gold was beaten out perfectly flat and smooth, then cut into threads and woven into the material. The fine twined linen was perfect righteousness, was interwoven with colors and also gold. The two pieces were held at the shoulders with golden clasps set with onyx stones. The stones represented Israel, forever born before the presence of God upon the mighty shoulders of Jesus, the high priest. The shoulders symbolize strength. The breast speaks of affection, tenderness, comfort, and love. The breastplate was made of the same material as the ephod, Exodus 28:15-29. It was made into a bag in which were placed the Urim and Thummim. Stones were placed upon the outside surface, giving it stability. Then it was laced to the ephod. It was the most costly of all the garments. The breastplate and the ephod were connected by a little chain of gold, conveying to us the thought of divine strength and affection being linked together for the preservation of the people. The stones represented the 12 tribes and were arranged 3 in a row with 4 rows. Their names shone out in brilliancy and beauty. No one was wanting. There was unity. Not one was inferior in either arrangement or stone. Sixth, the Urim and Thummim. No one is sure of the interpretation of the Urim and Thummim, Exodus 28:30. Some believe they were stones. Through them, the mind of God was revealed in different phases of Israel's history, and the judgment of God was made known. They settled national affairs, not personal. Without them, they knew not how to act, although they did not always consult them, Ezra 2:63 and Nehemiah 7:65. We see God's displeasure concerning Saul. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. 1 Samuel 28:6. Urim was a Hebrew word meaning light, and Thummim in the Hebrew meant perfections. In symbolism, Christ is the light of God, and he is the light of the world that shineth in darkness. Luke 1:79. Also, Christ is the perfection of God. 1 Corinthians 1:13. Seventh, the mitre. The mitre means to wrap or coil, was made of fine white linen and bound around the head like a turban. Exodus 28:36-39 and Exodus 29:6. Fine white linen typifies purity and teaches us that our high priest ministers before the Lord in purity and holiness. And since it covered the head, it is a type of subjection. Upon the mitre was a golden plate engraved with holiness to the Lord. Covering of the head also symbolizes shame, embarrassment, and humility. The reason is because the forehead is always very suggestive of purpose, will, or mind. Jeremiah 3:3, forehead mark indicating she was a whore. Ezekiel 3:7, meaning impudent and hard-hearted. Isaiah 48:4, obstinate, brow of brass. Ezekiel 3:8-9, harder than flint. Isaiah 50:7, not ashamed. Consecration of Aaron and his sons. All the sons of Aaron were priests by birth and consecration, Exodus 29:1-35. Consecrated means to fill the hand. First of all, God presents to me a full Christ, and I take him in his fullness and give him back to God in every part of my life. It is our reasonable service, Romans 12:1. The first act of a sinner is to receive, John 1:16, 1 Corinthians 4:7, Galatians 2:2, 1 Chronicles 29:14. Steps in Aaron's consecration. In this we have a lesson on both saint and sinner. Aaron and his sons were brought to the door of the tabernacle. This shows the active grace of God by which the sinner is brought to Christ. We do not come of ourselves, but the Holy Spirit draws us. God always takes the initiative in the matter of salvation. John 6:44-65. This is true of the saint who wishes to move on into the glorious possibilities of a deeper Christian experience and overcome in life. Here, too, one is unable to enter in of himself and it is only as the Holy Spirit draws him that he leaves the old creation life for that of the new creation and of the Spirit. John 6:44, Psalm 45:14, Jeremiah 31:3, Hosea 11 verse 4, Song of Solomon 1:4, and Song of Solomon 2:4. Thus the future priests were stripped of their own clothes as the sinner is stripped of his sins, and then, if he consents, he is stripped of his self-life. The self-righteousness and the garments spotted with flesh must go. As a further work, they were washed with water, a type of the Word of God and of cleansing. The sinner is cleansed by the action of the Word upon him, 1 Corinthians 6:11, Revelation 1:5, Psalm 51:2. Also, the saints need the daily cleansing in their walk and ministry, not that which speaks of salvation, but such as the laver teaches. The laver is for saints. Then the priests were clothed with beautiful garments. God does not cover the sinner with Christ's righteousness until the sin question has been settled. Then the repentant sinner is clothed in Christ's righteousness, the wedding garments and apparel that are becoming to a saint. Read Revelation 3 verses 4 and 5. And verse 18, Psalm 45 verse 14, and Zechariah 3 verse 4, and 1 Peter 5 verse 5. The veil. The most holy place was separated from the holy place by this veil, Exodus 26 verses 31 through 33. It was made of fine twined linen of cunning work, upon which, in colors of blue, purple, and scarlet, the figures of the cherubim were wrought. This curtain was suspended by hooks of gold from four pillars of acacia wood covered with gold, fixed in sockets of silver. The Holy Spirit has interpreted this veil, Hebrews 10:20, as the flesh of Christ, foreshadowing the humanity of Christ, 1 Timothy 3:16 and John 1:14. In the most holy place was the ark, which represented the immediate presence of God. The veil served as a concealing medium, for it hid away the ark. Christ's flesh was the veil that concealed God. That was the reason that the people could not and would not recognize God. They were continually looking on the exterior. The flesh of Jesus concealed from the carnal eye the fullest manifestation of God. We must believe by faith. We cannot fathom the new birth, the resurrection, or the incarnation. We just have to take them by faith. God will not let us grab an essential, fundamental thing with our minds. Jesus is the revelation of God, and at the same time he is the hiding of God. He is God concealed in humanity, in flesh, and at the same time he is God revealed to us. He was God manifest in flesh, it is true, but the incarnation was a hiding as well as a revelation. The veil in the temple rent. The veil was rent from top to bottom, showing that it was not accomplished by men, but by God, Matthew 27, verses 45 through 53. It was the symbolical rending of Jesus' flesh. Outside the city, his body was being offered, his flesh rent. In the temple, at the same time, the veil was rent. Being rent from top to bottom represents that every need of man has been met, no barrier now. The inner and outer courts are open. The whole range of Christian truth and the blessings in heavenly places are now open to us. It is the shedding of Christ's blood upon Calvary. There is an application of this flesh rending to ourselves. If we as saints desire to move into the Holy of Holies, the rending of the veil of our flesh must precede it. Our fleshly and natural instincts or legitimate desires, our perfectly correct thinkings. Our fleshly nature is a barrier between us and God. God does the rending from the top. God takes the initiative while we stand still and give him perfect liberty. It consists of a perfect, definite, consistent yielding to God. We only have to give him our consent. The curtain was too heavy and too intricate to be torn by man. The ark. The ark was simply a chest made of acacia wood and covered inside and out with gold. It was 3 feet 9 inches long and 2 feet 3 inches deep and wide. There was a crown of gold upon the top and two rings upon each side for the staves. The covering of the ark was the mercy seat, Exodus 25:10-12. The ark shows us Jesus Christ exalted in resurrection, crowned with glory and honor. He is the one through whom we come to God. Items within the ark. Within the ark lay the two tables of the law, and later on a golden pot of manna, and the budded rod of Aaron, Hebrews 9, verse 4. The tables of the law. Two things are represented by the tables of the law. One, the tables of the law within the ark represented Christ perfectly keeping the law, for Christ is the ark, Psalm 40, verse 8. And two, the law lodged within the ark is typical of Jesus Christ, the true ark, in whose heart was the way of the Lord, and whose steps did not slide from its plain and comprehensive precepts. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Romans 1:17, Romans 3:21 through 24, Romans 4:6 through 25, Romans 5:19 through 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and Philippians 3:9. Aaron's rod which budded. The almond tree is the first to show its buds in the spring. This rod was laid before the ark in the evening, and in the morning it had buds and fruit and blossoms. Numbers 17, verses 7 and 8. It suggests the resurrection of the Son of God. It also suggests the formation and the resurrection of the church with him. It suggests the needed warmth and grace. It is the action of Christ upon the individual. The golden pot of manna. It was the constant testimony in the presence of Israel of the constant presence of God, Hebrews 9, verse 4. God was always with them for protection and the supplying of their needs. This suggests that God is always able to meet the needs of his people wherever they may be, Philippians 4, verse 19. The mercy seat. It is the only seat mentioned in the tabernacle, Exodus 25, verses 17 through 22. There is no chair for the priest. The Holy Spirit has interpreted this to mean that because the sacrifices of that time could never take away sin, therefore the work of the priest was never done. The sacrifices merely made atonement, a covering, for their sins. They were not put away, merely covered. These sacrifices were merely the type, but Jesus was the reality. These were merely the suggestion of the fact eternally before them that Jesus would come and pay the penalty for their sin. Therefore, there was no seat or even suggestion of rest, no cessation of ministry for the priest. Daily he must stand and offer in the tabernacle. But Jesus offered one sacrifice, and then he sat down on the right hand of God, Hebrews 10:12. His work was finished. The mercy seat is the covering of the ark. The ark was made of wood covered by gold, but the mercy seat was made of pure gold. No humanity or acacia wood there. Mercy seat comes from a Hebrew word meaning propitiatory, to cover. This speaks again of the divinity and deity of Christ. It also speaks of the character of the mercy, divine mercy, God's mercy. It is the mercy of God coming to us in all its richness and graciousness. The mercy seat is the covering of the ark. The ark was made of acacia wood, covered by golden plates, but the mercy seat was made of pure gold. No acacia wood or humanity there. Mercy seat comes from a Hebrew word meaning propitiatory, to cover. This speaks again of the divinity and deity of Christ. It also speaks of the character of the mercy, divine mercy, God's mercy. It is the mercy of God coming to us in all its richness and graciousness. The blood being put upon the mercy seat reminds us of the right basis upon which the mercy of God moves out. The mercy of God is based upon a perfect righteousness, the blood applied to the mercy seat. If the mercy of God had been extended without the sense of justice, how feeble it would have been. A mercy just out of natural affection would have been weak and foolish. Such a mercy would not be honoring to God, neither would it meet our needs. We need a mercy saturated with righteousness and justice. The mercy seat and the ark were never separated. Apart from the ark, there was no mercy, and apart from the righteous one himself, there can be no grace. The law was within the ark and was covered by the mercy seat. The law was hidden, because aside from mercy, the law will slay. It shows that the mercy of God intervenes. People who will not have his mercy provoke his judgment. Do not approach the Lord with a legal air, saying by your attitude, "Look at me and what I have done. Your works are nothing." No one was to lift the mercy seat and look upon the law. On one occasion, we see a picture of such disobedience. 1 Samuel 6:19, when there were 50,070 smitten with death. Here is a warning in rejecting Jesus, who is the only channel of God's mercy upon us. If we ignore God's dictates to us, we get into difficulty. Ignoring Jesus, there is nothing but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Hebrews 10, verse 27. God in nature is God around me. God in law is God against me. But God in Christ is God for me. The law slays, but mercy saves and quickens. The Holy of Holies. Entering the Holy of Holies, I see blood on the mercy seat, placed there for me. Beautiful mercy seat made of pure gold, speaking of Jesus, the one we behold. For on the cross, when the dear lamb was slain, God rent the veil of the temple in twain. Now we can come into this sacred place, here meet our Savior and speak face to face. No more the law mixed to fear nor to dread, for we are now in Christ Jesus our head. Hidden away safely in him are we, not just for time, but for eternity. Covering the mercy seat, looking on him, all of pure gold, were the two cherubim. Not even once did their eyes glance away, but stayed on him every moment each day. Beautiful wings were theirs, stretched forth on high, welcoming hungry ones, come and draw nigh. We do rejoice in the shade of those wings, now our heart worships and praises and sings. Filled with God's presence is that sacred place, telling his glory and beauty and grace. Perfect communion we have with him there, nothing of earth can with this air compare. Mercy seat, cherubim, these were all one, so 'tis with us and our Father's dear Son. God looked away down the ages ahead, saw the fulfillment of what he had said. There, in the type, he saw Christ and his bride, for she with Jesus is identified. Joined to the Lord, yes, one spirit are we. Oh, 'tis a glorious reality. What a blessed union this, just to be his. Knowing no other, for our life he is. Perfectly joined in what e'er could us part, nothing whatever were hid in his heart. We too are priests, and this ministry share. Fellowship sweet, yes, with nothing between. Christ and his bride, what a beautiful scene. All things behind we're forgetting, yet more, and reaching forth unto those things before. We the high calling of God now possess, and toward the work the mark for the prize we do press. Looking to Jesus like him we shall be, as we behold all his pure deity. Soon we'll arise and away we will soar, ever to be with the one we adore. Dorothy Caswell. Are you ready? There is need of deeper consecration, for the coming of the Lord is due. He will call us and the door will open. I am ready. Are you? He is coming with the voice of power to the world. We then will say adieu, and with rapture we will rise to meet him. I am ready. Are you? Great rewards are waiting for the faithful and the loyal, happy and the true, who will meet each other in the morning. I am ready. Are you? There with Jesus in that grand reunion, all our loved ones we again shall view, and 1,000 years we will be reigning. I am ready. Are you? Mary M. Bodie.